Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. And as you know, I got a lot of thoughts. But I would always like to think that I would like to take this segment of Pastor Thoughts and Prayer as to be more of a teaching rather than my own individual thoughts about things. With all that said, I wanted to look at the Holy Communion today, or what we commonly call the Last Supper. Not from my perspective, but from a biblical perspective, and why do we put the importance on Holy Communion as bodies of Christ? Why, as Christian followers, why do we do that? Now, I was thinking maybe I would take a moment to share a little bit of what I know and what I found, and more importantly, what the Bible has to say. Well, the Last Supper is what we call the last meal that Jesus ate with his disciples before he was betrayed and arrested. And the Last Supper is recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic meaning very similar. They were eyewitness Gospels, but they were very similar. They weren't word from word exact. So, it was more important than Jesus' last meal, because what they gathered for was the Passover meal. One of the most important moments of the Last Supper is Jesus' command to remember what he was about to do on behalf of all mankind. And what was that? Well, it was the shedding of his blood on the cross, thereby paying the debt for our sins. Luke 22:19. So, in addition to predicting his suffering and death for our salvation, Jesus also used that time with his disciples, known as the Last Supper, to institute the Passover with a new meaning. Institute the new covenant, established as an ordinance for the church, and foretell Peter's denial of him. And the guy that really did it, old Judas Iscariot, and what happened. So Jesus was not only God manifested in the flesh, but he was also prophesying to them what was going to take place. So with the Last Supper, what it did, it brought the Old Testament of observance to the Passover feast and its fulfillment. So Passover was an especially a very holy event for the Jewish people, in that it brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Now, I entitled my youth message this week, Happy Meal or Holy Meal? And what I want to concentrate is on the Holy Meal. So during the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus took two symbols associated with Passover and put them together with the flesh in a way as remembering his sacrifice, which saves us from, more importantly, spiritual death. You know, they talk about the second death, and that second death is our spiritual death. Now, we can avoid that spiritual death by believing on the Lord Jesus. I digress. So, the Holy Supper, or the Holy Meal, or Eucharist, or Last Supper, whatever you want to call it, this is what he was saying. It would deliver us from spiritual bondage. So in that Passover meal that day, and after taking the cup, he had given thanks, and he said, "Take and divide this among you, for I tell you, I will not drink it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took bread. Very familiar how we go through things. I always use a little different variation and try to do different things with it to kind of get people to think about it. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood, which will be poured out for you." So with Jesus using those words during the Last Supper and about unleavened bread and the cup, it echoed what he had to say when he fed the 5,000, if you remember. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread represents my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Hallelujah. It's a consummation of God's promise. For my flesh, he said, is real, and my blood is real. So salvation comes through Christ and the sacrifice of his physical body, which would take place a little later, being crucified on the cross. Now also, during the Last Supper, or Holy Communion, with what we now call it, and the only reason they call it the Last Supper, it was the last time that Jesus had a meal with his disciples. And he taught the principles of servanthood and forgiveness as he washed his disciples' feet. Well, we haven't had a foot washing service in a long time, and I don't know if we ever had one here at Bethel. I have done one and participated in one. It's really a blessing. So, the greatest among you, he said, should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater than the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Now, it is not the one who is at the table, but I among you as one who serves, Jesus said. I came to serve. So the Last Supper is really a reminder during the Lord's Supper of what we ought to think about, because the Bible teaches that Jesus' death was typified in the offering of his bones, which were not broken, by the way. You can read that in some of the Psalms. Psalm 22 tells exactly what took place on the crucifixion. And other scriptures were saying about the bones not being... That's a miracle all in itself. And the Apostle Paul says, Christ is our Passover lamb, and he has been sacrificed. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, including the feasts of the Lord. So typically, the Passover meal was a family celebration, and it still is among our Jewish brothers. It's a celebration. Although the Last Supper, the apostles were alone with Jesus, which suggests that this particular meal had specific meaning for the church. Who's ahead of the church? Jesus. And which then became the foundation of our faith. So while the Last Supper had implication for the Jews, it was designed for the church as well. So today, the Lord's table is one of two ordinances observed by the church. The Last Supper was rooted in the Old Covenant, even though it's heralded as new. Jeremiah promised a new covenant between God and Israel, in which God said, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. It's the spiritual aspect of what Jesus done for us. And we think it's our conscience sometimes, but it's really the Holy Spirit quickening in our spirits about the love of God that he has put in our heart and how he likes to protect us. And then he went on to say, this is the new covenant in my blood. A new dispensation was on the horizon. And God's grace, what we call the new covenant, applies more than Israel. Or everyone, more than Israel, everyone who has faith in Christ will be saved. So the significance of Holy Communion, the Last Supper, or Eucharist, proclaimed a turning point in God's plan for the world. So in comparing the crucifixion of Jesus to the feast of the Passover, we can readily see the redemptive nature of Christ's death, as symbolized by the original Passover sacrifice in the Old Testament. Christ's death atones for the sins of his people. His blood rescues us from death and saves us from slavery. Hallelujah. So, next time we have Holy Communion or Lord's Supper, reflect upon what Christ's perfect sacrifice for us, and know that through our faith in receiving him, we will be with him forever. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, who came so that you may be saved. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Also, what we do is what we call the prayers. And we always pray the Lord's Prayer at the end of these segments. But I wanted to think about some things. I found a writing that I want to share with you that maybe will give you a better understanding of the Lord's Prayer. In the Our Fathers, our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic tradition calls the Lord's Prayers Our Fathers, and they repeat it over and over, and that's okay. But what about the meaning of the Lord's Prayer? Well, bless my soul, the Lord, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And that's what we do when we lift up the Lord's Prayer. Bless my soul, the Lord, and do not forget his benefits. He forgives all of our iniquity, and he heals all of our diseases, and he redeems us from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying when we say Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. And he comes and crowns you with his faithful love and compassion. And he also satisfies us with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, you've heard me say this before, and this is my own opinion. I think the way that God has let us know how we eternal life is exactly that. In our spirit is just as fresh and young as always, but the outside body's not so much. But when you have a spiritual experience with God through the prayer that he taught to Jesus, our spirits are renewed and we feel full of pep and energy. Now, that doesn't mean that our physical thing goes along with it, but I think it's God's way of letting us know we have eternal life because our spirit is always, always full of love and grace and willingness to do all the things. But now, Jesus warned us, too, about some things, about how the Pharisees and different things when saying the Lord's Prayer. And we got to be careful because, as I mentioned many times, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. And it's not to be convicting us or anything like that. It's a model prayer how we need to talk to God. But we also have to be very, very cautious of reciting it over and over again, although there's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord's Prayer is meant to, well, I say it's the model. So if you take it apart and understand exactly what your prayers are, your other prayers, and he would say, Jesus said, I think the best way to pray, and that's what he introduced, what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Our Fathers. He said, therefore, pray like this. And what he's saying and telling them how to pray, not what to pray. I think that's important. How to pray, but not what to pray. And most people know this prayer by heart. I know I do. We know the shorter versions and the longer versions. And I like the one that says, deliver us from evil. I like that one also. But then the one I like is, deliver us from the evil one, because we are in spiritual warfare here in this old world. So with that, we come into a prayer of agreement with and for those that are asking for us to lift them up in prayer. You can find them on the prayer list on the website. If you click on this part of the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, you'll see the list of prayers that people had requested, and we put it up before God every day, and we thank God for that. But you don't need an 800 number. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody, because you can go and talk to the Father for yourself. That is the most beautiful part of having a love relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, personal intercession. Well, I hope and pray that maybe some of this stuff that I shared with you today might be beneficial to you. It's almost like when you're doing scripture and you're doing worship and everything, it's almost like a smorgasbord. You ignore what you don't want, and you take the rest, and you, you know, just kind of feast upon it and meditate on it and all that. So preachers have a long way of being long-winded, so I will close with the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and so do I.